Warwickshire.
Well, hello everyone once again to the Dougie Stone Radio Show here on Radio Warwickshire. Hope you've enjoyed the show so far, and I've got some real good guests lined up for you. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And why not get on Twitter at Dougie Stone and drop me messages there? I just want to connect with people, and I want to bring you exciting and interesting people that will help you on your business journey. And that's what this show's all about. And I just want to give a shout out to my brother Dean over in Malta. I know he's been listening, and it gives me a big grin every time I think about actually listening to the main radio show. So hope all is well. And we've got a couple of listeners from the States over the pond there, and I'm going to be bringing them on the show because they're dyslexic experts. So that's going to be interesting, because part of my show is around dyslexia. So I'll let you know when they're on. And today's show is about niche. With I've managed to track down a really great person from 4N, and she's going to be Michelle Ebbs, is, and she's going to be telling us all about niche. That's going to be interesting. She's on first. And then I've got a couple up in Moray in Scotland who are setting up a business through crowdfunding, and I think that's going to be really interesting. Interest me, and therefore I hope it interests you. And they're going to be talking about their journey, where they're up to, and for those drinkers out there, a bit about the rum itself. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. Let's talk to Michelle. Here we go.
Radio Warwickshire.
Thanks for coming on the show, Michelle.
You're very welcome, Kirk. Well, when you said, you know, what helps businesses, I started to think what helped me when I set up my business, which is seems like ages ago now, because back in 2007, I found myself out of work and set up a virtual assistant business,
yep.
But I knew nothing about it.
Okay.
And I had somebody come up to me and they said, if you want to make this business work, you need to niche it. And it's like, yeah, but I don't want to put myself in a corner. I don't want to just be tied to certain things.
Yeah. Restricted. So, you feel restricted, don't you?
Yeah, you know, people say niche and it's like, oh, well, I can't do anything else. But we did niche. We niched into call handling, which worked very well. But then they said, yeah, but you need to niche again. And this is where I started to get really confused, because now I really feel as though it's so restrictive, we'll never be able to grow the business.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work like that, because we originally niched into doing calls for tradespeople.
Yep.
So everybody started talking about us helping tradespeople. And then we had a couple of property investors asked us, can you help us? So it's like, yes, of course we can. So we did another niche.
Yeah.
And we started to get known in the property investment circles.
Yep.
That then led on to the lettings agents. So, yep. Again, we like sort of niched a little bit, but now we've got, it's all property related, that side. So you've got your trades, your letting agents, and your property investors. But then I had somebody come up and say, well, I don't need you from a property business. However, I've got a business that does IT, but could you help us there? Of course we can.
Yeah.
So we started to pick up a few IT people.
Yeah, got you.
So it's like another little niche.
Yeah.
And if you imagine it, Kirk, like a star, because we've got our centre, which is the call handling.
Yep.
But then we have all these little spokes going out that are in different areas. But you get yourself known in those areas.
Yeah, because I can relate to that. So if you're a brickie, for example, and you say, oh, someone does call handling, you go, well, why would I need a call handler and things like that? But then when you start, people start, you know, a lot of them are working away and don't have time to answer the phone and miss a lot of customers, don't they?
Yeah.
And once they can relate to, actually, oh, there's a specific service for me, for my business, I think that's absolutely brilliant. And I think that's that's what I'm trying to get from this show, is people are starting off, or they're in a business, or they've just started, and, you know, they'll be fumbling their way through, but like people like yourself who've grown an amazing business and have learned along, you're from your mistakes, they can learn, which is great, isn't it? You know, your ideas and the way you've done it. I think it's brilliant.
Well, I'd say to anybody coming into business, setting up a business, do go networking. There's lots of different ones about, but go networking.
It comes up all the time, that.
Yeah, well, you meet so many people that can help you.
Yeah.
And the only reason I grew my business was through networking.
Yeah. You've not related to call handling, because I've obviously don't use you. I'm not used to you as a service or anything like that. But having met you quite some time ago now, you've helped me with some of the advice you've given me freely, which has been amazing. Which is something you're going to talk about today. That's a different subject. So I think it's great that we pick up things from people we meet out and about and you know, networking. I think you're right.
It's really important. And the other thing that I would say is, when they're going into this area where they're doing their little niche, is who do you want to work with?
Right.
Because that was something I learnt very early on.
Yeah.
And somebody said to me, "So who do you want to work with?" And I said, "Oh, anybody that needs their calls handling." And this guy turned around and said, "Well, my nan. She needs her calls handling because she never hears the phone." I said, "Well, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant."
You said everything.
Yeah, I said anybody. So he said, "Well, that's anybody." And it's like, okay,
that's really
I
good.
Get this. So then I carried on and I said, okay, no problem. I'll have a look at who I want to work with. And the guy came back and he said, "Listen, if you don't know who you want to work with, how do you expect me to know? I'm not a bleeding clairvoyant."
Yeah, that's right.
That's the thing. You have to have some ideas. So get your pens and papers out. Where's your passion?
Yep.
What do you really want to do?
Yep.
Who are the people that you really want to work with because you're passionate about their line of business?
Yep.
Make a list of them. Go networking and ask for introductions.
Brilliant. So, I mean, this is just a quick one. I might have you on for a full session. So where can people find you?
Oh, they can find me on either michelleibbs.com, which is, there's only one L in Michelle though, so it's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, and then it's I-B-B-S.com, or just look up Networking Queen on Twitter, you'll find me.
Oh, that's cool, that's brilliant. Thanks for coming on the show today, it's been absolutely amazing talking to you, and I'll speak to you. Radio Warwickshire. Hey, wasn't she great? That's Michelle Ibbs. So take her advice, focus on niche. If you know what you're talking about and you're specific, then other people are either more likely to buy from you or recommend you to other people. Think about niche. And next up, we've got Beechcraft Spirit. This interview is about their business, where they're up to currently, and how they're using crowdfunding to fund a business, which I think is really interesting, and I think it could be a consideration for other people. So let's take it away and let's hear what they've got to say. Hey, we'll get right in it. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Lara.
I'm Dave, and together we are Beechcraft Spirits.
Excellent. Yeah, we're not going to do that together. It's happy.
Excellent. So, hey, just tell us why you're in Scotland. What made you go to Scotland?
Myself, personally, I was born in Worcester, not so far away from Warwickshire. And I my university degree up in Edinburgh, came back downstairs, down to the Midlands.
Yep.
And following a bit of work around the Midlands, I ended up coming up to work for Diageo, which is based up in Elgin, where we live. And personally, I love it up here. I've been out to Australia. The kind of lifestyle up in Scotland, specifically in Murray, is very much like a kind of Australian lifestyle. And I personally have got a love of kite surfing, beach activities, and because all of our beaches around here, clean, wide open spaces, just love it up here.
Yeah. Just empty and colder than Australia.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, I've seen the video of you, one of your promo videos, and it looks really, it's really nice actually. Yeah.
Actually, you can see that beach from our house.
Yeah, it looks beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So I watched the video, and I think your passion with rum is because you've worked in the industry, is that right?
Yep, I've worked in the industry ever since 2001, so I've worked in here 16 years. And I've worked my way from in breweries, I've worked in wineries, I've worked my way up to head brewer. I then had a little hiatus where I worked for Diageo, one of the big distillers, and worked there for the last 8 years. And then now I've decided in time of my life to move back into a craft industry. And because I keep an eye on kind of industry trends, what's going on in the market, rum, according to the trends, is going to be as big as what craft gin is just now, just in a few years' time. So
yeah, because gin's gone really big, hasn't it? You see that all over at the moment, different gins, different flavours, and it's gone away from the green bottles, hasn't it, to something more, you know, a bit different.
Yeah, I suppose what we're doing is, rather than going in the middle of such like a gin trend, is we're going at the beginning of the rum trend. So actually, yeah, we're kind of, I suppose people are not realising that we're at the very beginning of the trend. So we're not jumping halfway through. We're having to kind of, there will be a lull at the beginning, obviously, but because we know it's going to take off, it's a really good thing for us to do.
It's definitely, it's getting, taking back to a surfing analogy, it's catching the wave almost before it just starts. So therefore, you're going to ride the wave all the way to the shore, and it's going to be equal to a big success.
Yeah, I think it will, especially if you've got the passion that you've got, you both obviously got. I think you can't help but fail, can you? So what made you go down the crowdfunding route? Because I'm interested to help people to understand different ways of setting a business up. You can go get a mortgage, you can, you know, savings, etc. What made you go down the crowdfunding route?
I suppose looking at it is because we're a new business and we're such a small business, it's quite difficult to get lenders. Still, it's really quite difficult to get lenders. And even such things sort of like, I'm thinking like business loans, they've been quite difficult. But also, you know how you get your funding, you can sometimes get funding from people. Even within this area, there isn't much funding. Some areas, there's a lot of funding, but there's not much here for us. I suppose because we're a bit different as well, it's hard to kind of put us into an actual box. We don't fit in a box as such.
With the likes of bank loans, then you're tied to a high interest rate from the very start. And we don't really want to be kind of put onto the back foot of having to pay back higher interest rates from that start, which then took us into one of our Business Gateway meetings. We've been involved within a organisation called Business Gateway, which helps new start businesses. And we got taken through to a funding event. And we got taken through the options. There was ones from banks. There was also ones from like payday loan companies, which after a little bit of research, we found wasn't for us. But there was an absolutely cracking presentation from a local distillery up here, which went through a crowdfunding project. And that really kind of perked up our interest for that.
Suppose they were inspirational, weren't they, really? Because they did it, they inspired us to actually go back. And it was kind of that light bulb moment, I suppose, because I remember sitting there thinking, right, that's the way we need to do it. And I was thinking, actually, that's amazing. It's suddenly this, you know, everything becomes very clear and you think, that's the one for us. That's how we have to do it.
Yeah.
And it was going back and researching and reading to the nth degree about how things happen.
Crowdfunding isn't as simple as just thinking somebody's going to give you money. There's varying options within a crowdfunding package.
Good. That's what we need to find out. Yeah, carry on, sorry.
So within crowdfunding, you can either just have people donate money towards you without any reward, which potentially is going to fail, because unless you've got a lot of people with a lot of spare cash just willing to just give you money, it's possibly not a viable option for the kind of business and the amount that we're looking for.
Yeah.
There is an option where you can give away equity in your company, but after a small decision, we found that that wasn't going to be the route for us, because we didn't really want to give away a business which was just so new into its infancy. And the route that we decided to go down was to actually give away product. So within our crowdfunding packages that we've got, ranging from £15 all the way through to £1,000, we give away products. So for the kind of base level, you get your name put onto a plaque which is going to be held within our distillery, and all the way through to £1,000 package where you get product of our launcher rums. And also, as a coup de grace, there is going to be a three-year-old aged rum, but in a driftwood presentation to go along with the branding of our rum distillery.
Yep. Well, that sounds interesting. Really good. So up to now then, has it been working for you, the crowdfunding? Now, what's the difficulties that you've found and that other people thinking of doing it will find? What's the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge for us has actually been just going for it. I think that's one of the hardest things, is you just think, is this right? Have we got to do it? And I think you've really got to jump in and, you know, because we believe and we know what we can do, it's making other people come across in your crowdfunding. You have to come across that, you know, your belief and your passion's there. So quite difficult to interpret that through typing, mm-hmm. which is why people use videos.
So we, as in for ourselves, we know we've got a great product, but if we can't explain that to the people, they're not going to believe in us.
Yeah.
So this is the reason why we've paired it up with a kind of pronged attack on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as pairing up with a really good PR company to be there and shout out for us and open up doors, so it allows people to actually get through to our crowdfunding page.
I think also the other thing that we've discovered that just recently, is that we originally were doing our own crowdfunding, because we'd seen from the talk that the person that we'd seen that inspired us did their own crowdfunding. So therefore, we were like, that's a really good way to do it. So we set up our own crowdfunding without a platform.
We did that mainly to, as in, certain amount of our research showed that people didn't want to pay into something where they wouldn't get all the money. So we wouldn't get all the money, which then pushed us down into that route of running it for ourselves.
But we've done some more research and people are actually saying that they want the guarantee. So what we've done is changed it to make sure that people have a guarantee. So now we've gone through the platform, like one of the actual well-known platforms, Crowdfunder, .uk, and we've done that so that people have that guarantee. They can see that actually things, you know, it's an all or nothing campaign.
Right.
If you don't get it, they don't, you know, no money comes off. That's a guarantee.
It's a lot of building up that trust with the person with the money.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we all work hard for our cash, and for us to hand it over or believe into a project, it's like the old adage, know, like, and trust, isn't it? So if you don't actually know you, and if you've got to sort of build that trust with people to get them engaged with it, haven't you, really?
Yeah, and I can understand that. I mean, we totally understand. You've got to be able to trust us, and that's why we're doing a lot of the vlogs and the blogs and showing everybody what we're doing stage by stage, so that people can see where their money's going, what we're up to, and that people can join us, you know, make that part of their story as well, that they're becoming part of us.
It's not solely about them investing in Beechcraft Spirits. It's about investing within Dave and Lara, who own Beechcraft Spirits.
Yeah.
So it's getting that kind of message put out to potential investors.
Yeah, because when you watch things like Dragon's Den, and sometimes you actually invest in the people, not because of the product they're selling. They might think the product's terrible, but they think, well, yeah, actually, you as an individual, whoever's presenting, they've got value, and they invest sometimes because of that person. So, you're right. You have to make what you're doing as a business human, haven't you? People have got to... I've been watching some of the things you're doing when you went into the design agency and you did like a David Attenborough type thing. I thought it was really good. You've made what you're doing, you made yourselves human and not a product.
What we're just trying to show you is us naturally. This is the kind of things that normal people do. We're not anything special. We're not kind of high up executives.
Excellent.
We're just normal people trying to get a business up and running.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we're starting from the very bottom. We've invested as much as we can, which is why we're now asking people to help us come along. I mean, if we had all the money, then we'd go set up a rum distillery, wouldn't we? And it'd be all singing and all dancing, but we don't. So we have to work really hard, and it is working a lot of hours to get this to keep going. On top of our full-time jobs, we're still working all
the
hours.
You're still working, and that's why we're doing this interview later in the evening, because of that, to work around you. And I think you said something quite then that this is what I'm trying to do with this show. I could go and show people really successful entrepreneurs, but that doesn't mean anything, does it? You know, if you look at really successful people now, it's people like yourselves, like me, that are just ordinary people that have got an idea, got guts and courage, and have got a great idea or a great product, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah. I think you just have to go for it, don't you? If you've got a sound idea, I mean, what we were taught was a bit of, like, I suppose it's really good advice, was that people were saying to us in the Business Gateway courses, even people that you network are saying, you know, if you've got an idea, go and look and see if anyone else is doing it. Because if it's a good idea, you'll probably find that somebody else is doing it somewhere.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's quite a good thing to do. And I suppose if you look at the gin distilleries, how many gin distilleries are there? Well, that's because it's a great idea.
Yeah,
I mean, you might be the first one, but it won't be long before someone else kind of jumps on
the bandwagon.
Exactly.
Within doing our research, we were very kind of time cautious in launching our crowdfunding campaign because mm-hmm. we heard rumours around the patch that there are going to be more springing up fairly soon. So it's about doing your research as well, knowing what's doing, timing it so you're the kind of first, so you get the kind of top billing on any of the kind of projects that you wanting to be put through.
Yeah, and you're trying to be first to market, aren't you, with your product and your idea, because then people buy into you. You're the first and like what you produce, then, you know, you've got a good customer base. But the phase you're going through now is the hard work and the struggle and trying to get it going.
It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. And there is, I mean, even if we look back a couple of months from now, see how we've gone, it's quite interesting to see how we've even changed, you know, like how we've become more, our brand's become more, and how we've become more, and how we're learning. Every day we're learning something new, and you come across somebody completely different, and you think, wow, that's amazing. Never have thought I'd met that person, or that door opens, or as one door shuts, another one opens, to say, and that's been true, hasn't it? I mean,
We went to our first industry event, which was held just last weekend, called Distilled 2016, and it was put on by Spirit of Speyside there, and there was all the major distillers there. There was a couple of craft breweries in there. There was at least two craft gin distilleries, which just proves that the idea of craft within the local area, if not the whole of the UK, is booming. And we were there side by side with the big boys, and we were just getting as many people coming to us, asking questions, finding out what we're about. Because we've actually invested our money wisely in good, likeable brands in terms of the branding, people have kind of fallen in. And then when we're face to face and we can explain our story, the reason why we've chosen this, and then it's instant. People have bought into your brand and willing to want to make you succeed.
And I think that's something that people, you know, anybody who's doing this needs to realise, is that your story needs to be, you know, like our story, because our name's Beach, everyone's like, oh, your name's really Beach. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's actually Beach. Like this.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that.
Yeah, and people suddenly like, oh, right. And like, well, we do kite surfing, stand-up paddleboarding. That's us. We love the beach. So to us, it's Beach. And then it is craft.
Yeah.
And then because we're going to be, you know, we're doing rum, but obviously because we've got spirits, we can move around. So we're already looking forward of what we can do. So I think that's quite important, that people have their story and know, you know, because our story is very much about us as much as anything else. It's about what we are about. And I think as long as you know, that's strong and that comes across to people, people will get it.
People will buy into the passion.
Well, they'll understand it. And passion, you know, you have to be very passionate. You have to know. I had a gentleman on the Friday night at the Distilled. I had a gentleman who fired about 20 questions at me, quite hard, quite fast. And I was like, could feel the sweat coming on. And afterwards he went, it's okay, I believe you, I'll crowdfund you now. And I was like, whew. He's like, you know your stuff. And I think that's what people want to know, is you know your stuff. You're not just...
It's our tagline, we're a sure thing. Play on the words seashore, but we're also a sure thing because we know that we can succeed.
So
what would make it easier next time for you, where you're up to now? What would you advise people to do to make it easier through the process?
What, as in the crowdfunding itself?
Yeah, the crowdfunding.
I think I read a very interesting, like, it was a whole like booklet about it was I think the word is like a booklet about crowdfunding within Scotland that had been released. That was very interesting. So I think definitely making sure what the latest like stats are on crowdfunding. Essentially, I think if we were to do it again, we'd do Crowdfunder first off. We wouldn't have done it the way we did. But then, do you know, it's really hard because you can't please everyone. You cannot. And I think
One thing that we did kind of have a learning from, we did a pronged attack when we launched the crowdfunding, but what we would have done would be go onto the social media of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and build it up beforehand.
Yeah.
So therefore there's the instant fan base following you, and then launch it.
Yeah,
that's definitely one thing that we'd definitely do if we could do it again. But
yeah,
we're going to launch with three different kinds of rum to appeal to a wide range of people. So our first one, which we reckon is going to be most popular, which will be our spiced rum, which is going to be more of a kind of citrus mixed in with spice. So it's still going to have your cinnamon, vanilla, but it's going to be heavily dominated by citrus, oranges, lemons, grapefruit, clementines there. So that one's going to be our spiced rum. We're going to pair that up with one to kind of rival a really good brandy or a really good whiskey. So that's going to be our intense rum, which is going to be very heavily dominated with coffee, licorice, but still have that spice in there. And along with that one, we're going to be doing a slow rum, which will be our little interesting quirky twist on slow gin. But it's going to be perfectly balanced between just enough sweetness, but packed in with a massive berry punch of the slow berries. So that's going to be our trio for our launch. But we've always got more ideas in our head to actually come up with creative and interesting things as time goes on. And also people who kind of go into funding for us can actually help shape the business. So they can chuck in ideas which they want, and kind of we go off down that flavor development.
That's cool. No, I want to taste them now, and that should hopefully get people involved in wanting to actually support you. So if people right now was listening and wanted to support you, what do they do? Where do they need to go?
Right, they can go to our website, which is www.beechcraftspirits.co.uk, or they can go and look on Crowdfunder, and we are one of the recently new funding ones. So you'll find us under the food and drink section, just under Beechcraft Spirits again. You can find us on Facebook under Beechcraft Spirits, and Twitter and Instagram, all under Beechcraft Spirits. On our website, we are contactable. Our mobile numbers are there. Our email addresses is there. So people can get in contact if they have any questions or queries about things they're not quite sure.
It's not just a faceless website. We are fully...
We are there.
We are there, and we are persons, and our mobile numbers are up there. So if anybody does have any questions, wants to find out a little bit more information about us, please do give us a ring. We're happy to answer any questions that anybody's got.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they do, because I'm looking forward to seeing your journey continue, because I've liked what I see so far, and I want to see you become a big success, because I'm sure you will, because talking to you earlier on and about your passion, what you want to do, why you're there, what you're actually currently going through, and you're really still pushing through, and you're both working full time,
is
superb.
Yeah, we're going to push through. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. One way or another, it will happen, and we know it will. It's just we're pushing through. It's going to keep going.
It's all about being fully committed to something that you believe in.
That's great. And I think we'll finish on that. I could sit and talk to you for hours, but I've got a limited time. Producer will kill me if I can run over. So thanks for coming on the show. And I'll tell you what, will you come back again later? Tell us where you're up to and what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love that. Yeah, we'd love that. It'd be brilliant.
It'd be great.
And keep sharing your vlogs, because I'm watching them, and I'll keep sharing them as well.
Thank you very
brilliant.
Much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the show. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, Pauline.
Bye.
Radio Warwickshire.
Well, we're coming to the end of another show. Goes fast, does for me anyway. And I hope you like listening to the show and what it's all about. And remember, it's here to help you. So connect with me on Twitter at Dougie Stone. Drop me some messages there, and I'll try and get you on the show if you're interested. And if you've got a good story to tell. Next week, we've got Jackie Chappell. She was the first female CEO in British Rail. Back in the day, when it was really a male-dominated business. And she's going to tell us a bit about her story, and it was a great chat I had with her, and she's going to tell us a bit about her business and what she's currently doing now. I just had to bring her on the show. She's a very interesting person. I've known her for a bit now, and I've seen her public speaking, and I really like what she's about. So check it out anyway. Check it out, it's a good one. So connect on, like I say, on Twitter at Dougie Stone. Drop me some messages there. And I'm trying to help them. And hope you check into next week's show. Keep listening. Hope the weather's nice over there in Malta, Dean. And I hope to see you soon. Take care, everybody. Until next week. Goodbye.